John Kerry's status as a veteran has been a highlight of his campaign. He spent 4 months in combat in Vietnam. He earned a Bronze Star, a Silver Star, and 3 Purple Hearts. Kerry's Vietnam history has a second chapter. After returning home, he became a leading figure in the group Vietnam Veterans Against the War. His most ardent detractors still call him Hanoi John. Our colleague Melissa Block has been talking with veterans at the Democratic Convention in Boston about John Kerry's military service.
They call themselves the Band of Brothers. On Monday night, one of the band, John Kerry's Swift Boat crewmate, Reverend David Alston of South Carolina, addressed delegates from the convention stage. He told them about the John Kerry he knew at war.
Lieutenant Kerry was known for taking the fight to the enemy. I can still see him now, standing in the doorway of the pilot house, firing his M16, shouting orders through the smoke and chaos.
John Kerry, the heroic commander, and John Kerry, the compassionate comrade in arms, these are the testimonials his crewmates are giving over and over. Their stories are included on a DVD the campaign is using for outreach to veterans.
He was a guy that would come to you after a firefight, and he put his hand on you, and he'd say, "Now, how are you doing? Are you okay? You're okay. You're handling this okay." I had no other officer ever do that. And the whole time I was in,
America, America, God shed.
At this Veterans for Kerry caucus on Monday, another crewmate, Illinois Delegate Jim Wasser, spoke of his undying devotion to John Kerry.
If John Kerry come up to us today and said that he had one more swift boat mission and we were going to hell, he would have a full crew. Thank you.
And General Wesley Clark, Kerry's former rival for the Democratic nomination, gave veterans the call to arms.
So as we used to say in uniform, listen up now, here's the mission. We're going to have to persuade the American people. We're going to have to persuade them to do something that's very difficult. We're going to change horses in midstream. We're going to have new leadership in this country in a time of war.
And so the grassroots effort will heat up. Veterans for Kerry has chapters in all 50 states. They're trying to mobilize 1 million veterans behind his campaign. They'll be running phone banks, organizing motorcycle rides, reaching out on the Internet. At the Bunker Hill Monument in Charlestown yesterday, across the harbor from the convention center, Democrats held a salute to veterans. Some of Kerry's swift boat crewmates were there. So was Ben Shapiro, who met John Kerry in the early 1970s, when they were both involved with Vietnam Veterans Against the War. Asked why John Kerry's service 35 years ago is still significant, he says, when you see lives lost, you never forget.
You also know that you don't put young men in harm's way unless it's absolutely necessary, and that tempers you.
Navy veteran Charlie Muskean of Pelham, New Hampshire, says John Kerry's courage speaks for itself. As for George Bush's service with the National Guard...
He did what he had to do. I mean, every person's responsible for themselves. But when I compare John Kerry's service to George Bush's service, I stand behind John Kerry because that's a true man. And he has his crew standing up there attesting for him, for his 3 Purple Hearts, his Silver Star, his Bronze Star.
John Kerry's also won the support of young veteran Jeremy Broussard, who served with the Army in Kuwait and Iraq during the war last year. He knew a soldier who was killed there, and he hears stories from his wife, who's a nurse at an Army hospital and is treating the wounded.
So to her and to me, because of her, this isn't an abstract idea. This war isn't over. We see it every day. She sees it every day when she takes care of the amputees and the 19, 20-year-olds who are coming back without their eyesight or without their limbs. I think now I really understand how important the role of a commander-in-chief is in terms of the use of force and the use of power.
Probe a little farther back into the crowd, though, and you'll find some who aren't convinced. Virginia Hurley of Cambridge, Massachusetts, is the national historian of Gold Star Wives, a military widows organization. She has questions about John Kerry, not about his wartime service.
Yes, that was heroic, no question, okay. But then what did he do afterwards, while his fellow servicemen were still over there fighting? And that's what bothers me today.
Bill Reggio of Hyde Park, Massachusetts, is a Korean War veteran. He isn't happy that Kerry tossed his military ribbons over a fence in front of the Capitol in an anti-war protest in 1971. Mr. Reggio says that doesn't sit too well with him, as he points to the rainbow of ribbons lining his own chest.
You know, I'm kind of proud of these things, okay? Because I earned them, and my country was grateful enough to bestow some of them on me, okay?
John Kerry's military honors, his stars and Purple Hearts, are the target of a counter-campaign by some other veterans. They say Kerry exaggerated his heroics and his war wounds, which allowed him to cut his Vietnam service short after 4 months and return home. Van O'Dell served on a Swift Boat in Vietnam at the same time as John Kerry. He's now part of the group Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. O'Dell says he witnessed the incident that earned Kerry his Bronze Star and the last of his 3 Purple Hearts. According to the citation, Kerry was wounded in the arm, bleeding, and under sniper fire when he pulled a man who'd fallen overboard, Green Beret Jim Rassman, out of the water. But Van O'Dell says there was no enemy fire at the time, and he says it wasn't unusual to pull crewmates out of the water. What was unusual was to get a medal for it.
John Kerry's wanting to be following JFK's footsteps was well known when we were over there. John Kerry promoted himself by pushing for awards. He earned Silver Stars and Purple Hearts faster than Audie Murphy did. He was in and out of Vietnam in 4 months. A lot of people received 3 Purple Hearts and didn't leave country. A lot of people stayed to do their duty.
Another focus of the anti-Kerry veteran's ire is his testimony in 1971 before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, when he famously posed this question.
How do you ask a man to be the last man to die in Vietnam? How do you ask a man to be the last man to die for a mistake?
Anti-Kerry websites have more audio from that 1971 hearing when Kerry listed atrocities that veterans claimed they'd committed in Vietnam.
They told the stories of times that they had personally raped, cut off ears, cut off heads, taped wires from portable telephones to human genitals and turned up the power, cut off limbs, blown up bodies.
That testimony still angers Van O'Dell.
When I saw him on camera, I was flabbergasted and hurt. The thing that's happened now is my children have come up and gone through schools, and we've talked about Vietnam, and they've asked about these atrocities and what John Kerry said. I've had to explain to them this didn't happen. The thing that really irritates me is that at that time he needed us to be war criminals to promote John Kerry. Now he needs to be a hero, so we all need to be heroes, so he's parading this out like we were all heroes. So it depends on how it helps John Kerry is how we as veterans are used, and that disgusts me.
Tonight, some anti-Kerry veterans protested outside the convention center on the same night that an array of generals and admirals stands on stage to support Kerry's leadership. Melissa Block, NPR News, Boston.